Don't get used to it, Frank. Looking across at Grunny.
Look who's here.
Don't get used to it.
Ah, look who's here.
It's good to be back. Boy, everything is very comfortable and sounds good.
Are you still wired up?
Just wired up to be out of the house. Well, as you know, we're just talking about some of the stuff that's going on. I'm like, I got to get out. Hey, guys, welcome to...
Got to go talk to Frank.
Got to go talk to Dr. Frank. Love line with Dr. Frank.
It's not Timmy.
It's not me. I'm fine.
We won't go any deeper.
No, we're not going any deeper. Anybody who has 20-something kids, you can imagine what some of the situations are. Guys, welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull. And gosh, we're just so happy to be with you on a Thursday night. What a great, great week. And a great, great football game coming up against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. I cannot wait for this game. And Frank, you know, I like to, you know, do my due diligence preparing for a show.
You do, yes.
I probably did about 4 or 5 hours of stuff today. And it may be to the point where I have too much information.
There's never too much information.
But for me, I get lost in the weeds because there's so much that I want to talk about. So I actually tried to make a timeline of when to talk about certain stuff.
Well, that's fine.
That's not me.
No, that's right. You do flit from
me. I am a bouncer arounder. But it's a great game. But real quick, we get some business done here. I want to thank our friends from CBD American Shaman for sponsoring the show. CBD American Shaman is America's largest CBD retail stores. They have 360 plus stores around the country. By the way, I was looking
40 in the metro.
I was looking up some stuff today. They have a top 5 gummy, and don't forget, for the gummies, you get the positive mental support, better mood, relief from discomfort, and sleep. The gummies are outstanding. They use only the finest hemp products and hemp oils. And not only do they have a top 5 gummy, but they also have a top 5 water soluble or CBD oils that is made from hemp and hemp extract from the rich. Terpenes. Highest quality anti-inflammatory, great stuff, great company, and American Shaman's just kicking it right now. I'm so proud that they took us kind of under their wing and said, hey, we're going to give you a radio show. Once you talk sports, talk about American Shaman. And this show and American Shaman have kind of grown together. It's been a great, great relationship, and we're so proud to be with those guys. And right now, if you're driving around and you're having some issues with sleeping, you know, this time of the year, it gets dark earlier, it gets dark.
Get depressed.
Yeah, you know, and you might, you know, I don't think you're going to need any anxiety products for the game on Sunday. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine.
I tell you what, folks, from my standpoint, you better stock up.
So if you do need that right now, 30% off all stores here in the metro area.
Yeah, and don't forget about the HHC, which is just flying off the shelves. They have those in gummies and also in vape. If you're fans of the medical marijuana product, HHC from CBD American Shaman is totally legal. There's no THC in it. It's an isolated cannabinoid, helps with pain, hypertension, and sleep as well. So give that a try. Jamie Woolard will join us a little bit later tonight.
Is he still in Cabo?
He's in Cabo San Lucas.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
CBD American Shaman must be doing really good.
Yeah, I think it is.
Speaking of good, let's get the good, bad, and the ugly out of the way here, because I have a lot of stuff that I'm going to touch on from the good, bad, and the ugly, and a lot of times it just kind of loses its kind of pizzazz.
Yeah, because you wait till the last 2 minutes of the segment to finally get to it.
All right, let's go to the good, bad, and the ugly. First of all, the good, Patrick Mahomes, really after the first 5 series, was as good as I've seen him all year. The one thing that I really was impressed with is one of the things that he's had issues with for one reason or another, whether it's been because of coverages or just, you know, having that touch on the ball this year, the deep ball. He was 4 of 5 on the deep balls for 111 yards, which is huge. That's what the Chiefs need to do. So with Pringle and McKinnon and Hill and Kelsey all playing very, very well, the Chiefs, after the first 5 series, look like a really, really solid football team, scoring 42 points. So congratulations to Patrick and that offense for scoring 42 points against the Steelers. And listen, the Steelers' offense may not be any good, but their defense is pretty good. that defensive line is maybe one of the top three defensive lines, top five defensive lines in football. And they did a good job of handling those guys. The bad, really something that, and I don't want to blame Patrick Mahomes for this. I can't say he was good and then bad, but the bad was that Patrick Mahomes struggled a little bit against the blitz. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers changed it up a little bit. A lot of people have been saying, hey, we're going to play this cover two shell, and we're going to let you have the underneath stuff. But Pittsburgh said, hey, listen, we're going to mix in the blitz. And we're going to talk about what Buffalo does with the blitz, because they don't blitz very much either. But when they do, they're one of the best in the league at doing it. But Patrick struggled a little bit. He had 11 dropbacks with pressure. He was 2 of 7 with 3 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So not very good against the blitz. Now, that's offensive line play. I thought the offensive line struggled against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's also holding the ball a little bit longer than normal, too.
Absolutely. So, yeah. It's all intertwined. And, mm-hmm. and really, that's seeing the blitz. I mean, they haven't really been blitzed this year. And when, you know, everybody said, you can't blitz Patrick Mahomes. You can't blitz Patrick Mahomes. He's going to make plays. He's going to make plays. And, you know, early in the year, they were right. I mean, they didn't blitz him, and they played that cover, too, and next thing you know, the Chiefs were struggling to score. And when the Raiders came up and blitzed them in that one first game they played against it, they just tore it apart. But
yeah.
Pittsburgh did a good job of mixing up. You're going to see a little bit of that in the Buffalo game. We'll talk about that here in a minute. The ugly was the first start of the game, the first 15 plays of the offense. And I was talking to somebody today, and they said, well, tell me about these first 15 plays. And then this is going to lead into you, Frank, because you are a coach, and I want mm-hmm. you to talk to these guys and talk to everybody kind of how a coaching staff goes through this game plan as the week progresses. But what Andy Reid likes to do, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it always works for him. And it's not really predicated on points, the first 15 plays. The first 15 plays are predicated on looking for formations and what the tendencies are and how they're going to land for those formations. What is going to be the flavor of the week in the blitz? Because usually defensive coordinator have 2 or 3 things that they're going to do. That's their flavor of the week. And they really don't change. They, you know, they practice it all week against different situations, different fronts, and they're going to run what they run. And the other thing is, you know, that Andy takes the defensive looks, whether it's an over or an under against a situation, whether they're playing cover 2, cover 3, cover 4, cover 0, whether they're blitzing or whatever, and he looks at that during the game, and he makes some mental notes, and he understands where he wants to go after those first 15 plays. Those first 15 plays are all put in to see how and what the defense is going to present to you in that day. And listen, it's not that they don't have an idea of what a defense is going to do against their formation or that play, but it's it's the show me state, show me. And that's what Andy Reid is doing. He wants to see how they're going to line up against situations. So as a coach, when you're doing these first 15 plays or you're preparing, what do they go through?
Well, I think what they do now, they've played the Bills before. Okay, so they played the Bills way early in the season. Okay, week five. And they lost 4 turnovers, which isn't going to happen in this game. They just have cleaned all that up. Chiefs weren't playing very well those first 7 games of the season, and all the good teams they played just happened to be there. It could have been a little bit of the Super Bowl hangover for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know. Not only did they go to the Super Bowl 2 straight years, but they won one and lost one. I think there was a little bit of a hangover there for those first 7 games. But what you want to do, Patrick Mahomes talked about this. He said sometimes he likes to get to Friday when Andy unveils his first 15, mm-hmm. and before Friday happens, Patrick Mahomes says, I like to jot down my own idea what I think the first 15 plays are going to be. And he says, a lot of times, I'm pretty close. So the great thing there is they're on the same page the whole time. We used to do this in high school, believe it or not. Our coach in high school, we're talking 1960, in the 60s, okay, 1963 and 64. I'm playing high school football my junior and senior year, and we scripted. We had to memorize that we'd be in the meeting before the game, and we had to memorize the first 10 plays. We had to repeat them back. We all did it as a group in the room. Everybody was there, the linemen, the running backs, the quarterback, head coach was there, everybody was there. And he scripted the first 10 plays. And I never asked him at that time why he did that. Later, when I wrote a book about that football team, we finished undefeated in our senior year, number one team in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
A humble brag there.
That's good.
That I asked him, I said, why did you script? He said, I wanted to see how defense could line up against. He said, we ran the same offense all the time, but we didn't run the same against the same defenses all the time.
Right.
And so we wanted to see how the defense was going to line up against, we ran the Delaware wing tee. And he said, I wanted to see what the defense was going to do against the Delaware wing tee. And we didn't put in any extravagant plays. We just did our off tackle. We did our counter plays. We did end runs. We did a few passes. But we didn't do anything really fancy because he just wanted to see how they were going to line up and play against us that night, at least in the beginning of the game, unless they made an adjustment. And back then in high school, coaches rarely made adjustments during the game like they do in the pro. So I think Andy's trying to figure it out. And the thing about it is, a lot of times the Chiefs get off to great starts.
I agree.
We've seen that. They'll go up to 7-10 points right away. And they're out in the lead, and they're cruising along. It's the next 15 plays I have a problem with sometimes. So that has been an issue this year. But I'll tell you what, they can't get off to the start they got off against Pittsburgh Steelers, or they're going to get thumped before halftime. They just can't go for the first five or six series and have to punt the ball and don't, you know, maneuver it down the field. Because Buffalo is not Pittsburgh. Okay, Buffalo's going to, if you do that against Buffalo, they're going to put some points up. So that'll be an issue. Got to get off to a good start, which they have done a lot of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And just kind of put the Pittsburgh game to bed. Obviously, those first five series where they didn't score points. I thought Pittsburgh had a good game plan. You know, they got some smart coaches, and they got some good football players
on
now.
On defense especially.
Yeah, on defense especially. And they had a good game plan, and they showed the Chiefs a couple different things that I don't think they were quite ready for. And that's not a slam on the Chiefs. I mean, listen, all year the formula to beat the Chiefs has been play cover two and keep everything in front of you. And I think teams are starting to get a little tired of that. And that's
because the Chiefs are starting to beat everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They've adjusted. Yeah.
They've adjusted. And that's why, and we're going to get into the Buffalo Bills here in a minute. It'll be interesting to see what the Buffalo Bills do. Will they? Because the last couple times they played against the Chiefs. Now, remember, the Chiefs ran the ball very, very well. Last year in the regular season, the Chiefs ran for like 200 yards against Buffalo, which was an outlier. And the reason why is because Buffalo was one of the first teams to play this big cover two shell and say, listen, we're not going to let you have those plays down the field. And in that game, the Chiefs ran the ball efficiently, and they made some plays, and then, you know, they won that game. And then it was a little bit of a hybrid. There was some cover two stuff, but they also – I don't think they quite bought into that cover two. And I'm talking about Frazier, the defensive coordinator. He kind of did a little bit of some – there was a little bit of that same game plan as the first game last year. But in the playoffs, they changed it up a little bit. And the Chiefs, they struggled a little bit early in that game, and then they were able to come back and win that game and score, and take care of business. This year, they played that cover two shell, and Patrick Mahomes – was not in the right mindset at that time. He was still trying to make those plays down the field, and it killed him. And so that's why it'll be interesting to see what Buffalo's going to do. Will they take a little bit of what Pittsburgh did early against the Chiefs and switch it up? But we'll get into all that. But
yeah.
But I do think that, listen, Pittsburgh had a good game plan. Roethlisberger is what he's done. He's done.
He was done way before this.
He's done. And
he was done before this season started.
Yeah, he played like he was done.
Yeah.
Some of the throws that he made.
Hey, it was just a miracle they got to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was absolutely. I mean, it was the Chargers dumb enough to call a timeout. It's the only reason they made it.
That's right.
Okay, then that was it. It was that timeout that killed them. Otherwise, they would have played the Raiders. And I think Chiefs would have beaten the Raiders.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure the Chiefs would have beaten the Raiders if they'd gotten off to a start like that.
You're right.
Okay. I'm going. Thank God, I said the whole game. I said, thank God that was the Steelers.
Yes.
And not the Raiders, even though the Chiefs tuned the Raiders a couple of times this season. It's just, I'm just going, thank God that wasn't the Raiders.
Yeah, that was a perfect team to play because their offense was just stagnant.
Yeah.
And they were able to make those adjustments without getting too far behind. Listen, they were behind. It was 7-0. They were behind.
Yeah.
But they didn't get too far behind because the offense of the Steelers wasn't very good, and Roethlisberger isn't very good anymore. So they were able to make those adjustments and kind of hold serve. They won't be able to do that this week.
No. They're going to have to get off to a much better start. Those 15 plays that they've scripted have got to work better than that. Now, I think what Buffalo will do, too, and we'll get into this much more, but I think what Buffalo will do, they're still going to show those two high safeties. What Buffalo likes to do is to delay blitz. They don't blitz very much. Mm-mm. They average only about 7 blitzes a game, some crazy thing like that. But the deal is their defense is good. Those two safeties are absolutely terrific.
They're the best combo in the
league.
They're
really good.
They blitz 28% of the time, a little bit probably more than you thought.
That's more than I thought, yeah.
They have the highest rate of pressure, though, in the league, which is like 30%, which means that out of their blitzes, they get pressure and they affect the quarterback 30% of the time.
Right. And they get pressure without blitzing. That's
right.
The other thing that means as well.
And the other thing is they get 15% hurries, which means quarterback hits.
Right.
So they're good at blitzing. They do a really good job of blitzing. And like you said, their safeties are great blitzers. And I believe one of the safeties, I have it written down in here somewhere in my notes, but one of the safeties is a guy who sacked the quarterback, caused a fumble in the game last time.
Is that Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I think it was Micah Hyde or the other guy.
Who's the other one, Rudy?
Yeah, or the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... yeah, so, hey, so let's put the Pittsburgh game to bed. What were your thoughts on that game as a whole?
Thank God Roethlisberger was a quarterback, and it was a Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Mike Tomlin did one hell of a job getting that team to the playoffs, and but he did, that quarterback just wasn't it. He got hurt, remember, in, I think, the end of 19, I think Roethlisberger did, and then 20 he was sort of out, and then he came back this year to give it one more shot. And it just wasn't going to happen.
No.
It was just, and now there's a franchise that, I mean, Mason Rudolph at the moment is going to be their normal quarterback. Now, I think to go out in the free agent market and try to find a free agent or a backup from somebody. And I even saw somebody tweet out, how about Chad Henne from the Chiefs as a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who knows what will happen, but Pittsburgh's got a long way to go. They've got some weapons.
Yeah.
And they've got a good defense. So if they can get a decent quarterback, they could be right back in the mix for a playoff spot, but I don't think they'd be in a mix for
And there's nobody in the draft this year that's going to be a difference.
They like the kid from Pitt, but I don't think he'll be there when they pick. I think he'll be gone already.
Yeah.
That's Pickett.
But I don't know if he's a – and maybe I'm
No,
wrong.
I understand.
I don't think he's an elite quarterback.
No, but he really increased his value this season.
A lot of people think he's going to go in the top 15 or something.
But that's enough of Pittsburgh.
All right, let's talk about Buffalo. I want to talk about a couple things that I jotted down for the Chiefs defense they're going to have to do against the Buffalo offense. Number one, they got to stop Josh Allen. I mean – really, Grunny? Yeah, they have to stop Josh Allen. The word and the phrase that I want you guys to put into your mind the Chiefs have to stop is what we call the plus one run. Okay, so Josh Allen, when you see him run the football, that is a design run, and he's averaging almost 8 yards a carry on design runs. And those are, you see it a lot in college. You don't see it as much in the pros, but we call them plus one runs. Why? Because you got an extra blocker. That's plus one. Usually when the quarterback hands the ball off, he's pretty much a dead entity, and he's not really doing anything. So when the quarterback runs, and that running back now becomes that plus one blocker. So you have the plus one. A lot. They like to do a lot of counters, which is where they'll take the back, and he'll be the second one through, so they'll pull a guard, kick out the end, and then they'll lead up with a back, which is that plus one run stuff, and they got a really good solid backside because they're keeping the tackle in or that tight end in, and they're double-teaming. They're cutting the defense at the three technique, usually, or the one technique on the defensive side. When I say cut the defense, that means they're double teaming to the backside backer. They're pulling the backside guard to kick out the end, and now they're bringing a back to clear out any backer that's in that zone. And Josh Allen does a really nice job of two things. Number one, being very patient. And as a quarterback, that's the thing that amazes me the most about what Josh Allen does when he runs the ball, is he doesn't look like he's in a big hurry. And he doesn't even look like he's that fast. But the next thing you know, the guy's chunking 8, 9, 10 yards down the field. So that plus one run thing is something the Chiefs have got to be cognizant of. And the way to stop that plus one run is you got to win at that double team, that cut in that defense. And then number two, you have to follow the polar. The polar is going to bring you to the play. So you've got to be ready to get down the line of scrimmage if you're on that backside. Don't get too deep. Don't go till you know, but don't get too deep and get down, because if he cuts back, you got to have something there for the cutback, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to take away anything coming from the backside. He can see the guys in front, but he can't see the guys in back, and the Chiefs defense has to do a better job of that. But his run efficiency is unbelievable on design run or when he scrambles and runs. So what do you do to stop it? Number one is, we just talked about it, you got to win on the double team and the runs. Number two is you got to win on the backside. You got to get over the top on those double teams and on those poles. You got to follow the polar, and you got to be able to get yourself in a position to make a play at least 3 or 4 yards down the field, because if you don't, he's going to be down the field. The other thing is you got to put a spy on him. You got to. And I know you don't like to do that because it takes somebody out of coverage. But you can't let him run around and make plays on you. So you got to get a spy. And the other thing you can't do is you can't play cover zero. You can't blitz against this guy as much, because if you blitz and you play cover zero, what does cover zero do to defensive backs?
Sends him straight down the field with the wide receivers, and he leaves whole field. As soon as he breaks the first line, he's in wide open space in the middle of the field.
And in man, you're looking at the wide receiver.
With him, and you're looking at the receiver.
So you can't do that. So you're going to have to figure out a way to play some cover two, but cover two is what they want you to play.
Yep.
They want you to play cover two. So what do the Chiefs do? They're going to have to, and this is what I was talking about. I got so much information, and I just hope you guys are staying with it. What the Chiefs are going to have to do to stop Josh Allen is, number one, they're going to have to put a spy out there. Number two, they're going to have to give him a pre-snap read of a cover two look or a cover four look, and then rotate late a safety up so that he thinks that he has some room to run. And once he figures out he doesn't, then he tends to throw the ball around over the place. That's when you get the interceptions. You don't get the interceptions from Josh Allen when he's sitting in the pocket trying to throw the ball down the field. The interceptions from Josh Allen come when he thinks he can run, and then he realizes he can't, and he just tries to get rid of the ball. That's when you got him. So the Chiefs have got to get him in that situation.
Right. Here's the bad situation here for them.
Yeah.
That we don't know yet. Willie Gay. Okay, his status for Sunday's game is still up in the air. He was just released by about 1 hour ago from Johnson County.
Not to be funny on this thing, but an $800-some vacuum?
No. I think the total damage was $266, something like that. It's a vacuum. It was a dehumidifier, and it was a cell phone. Oh. Cell phone alone costs you about $1,000 if it's an iPhone.
I was going to say, that's an expensive vacuum.
Right.
But
the whole deal is, we have no idea what his status is. Steve Spagnuolo, he did not practice today. Willie Gay. Steve Spagnuolo said, you hear about this from Andy tomorrow. I'm not speculating at all on whether or not he's going to play or not.
Do we have sound, by the way?
Yeah, we do. We'll do that in the next segment. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But here's your problem. We will just say his status is up in the air whether or not he plays. Okay, what kind of frame of mind he's going to be in? I worry about the kid's mental status as well. He's talked about this before. He had issues before when he wanted to be in on the birth of his son, and the mom wasn't going to let him be there. And it was a big. That was halfway through the season. I think the kid's 6-9 months old. It was about 9 months ago, six to nine months ago, right in there somewhere. And again, he goes and visits his son last night. Gets in a situation at 10:30. No alcohol, no drugs. That's great. Did not touch mom or the baby, which is great. And but he was probably pretty loud. I'm imagining there was an argument going on, and his the baby's mom called the police, and she put a restraining order on him, and he's got a restraining order going as well. They have now released him on $1,000 recognizance bond. So from that standpoint, that's where we are with Willie Gay. Here's your deal. Willie Gay, in order to talk what you're talking about, is a spy on Josh Allen. There's your guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It ain't Neiman.
I'm going to tell you something. If it's not Willie Gay, it's going to be it's going to be Daniel Sorensen.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're going to move him into a nickel tie. They can't let him back at safety. Okay, they got to try to spy on him. And Sorensen, I'll give Sorensen credit for this. The kid will tackle you.
Yeah, he will.
Okay. Let's just remember this
he
game.
He may take a bad angle, but he'll tackle it.
Let's go. Well, if the guy's faster than he is, then he's in trouble. But the deal is, let's go back to the Denver game, okay? Drew Locke looked like Jimmy Brown. Okay, run through the – and nobody wanted to tackle Drew Locke. Can you imagine?
No.
Now you have Josh Allen, who's 6'5", 250 pounds. He's broken through the initial line, and now he's headed downfield. And somebody has got to make a tackle on him. I'm going to tell you something here. 829 yards rushing this year for Josh Allen, right?
Yep.
439 yards of those is after contact. Wow. That means guys are hitting him and bouncing off. And he created 20 missed tackles sidestepping guys. Now, come on. He's a quarterback. And I know he's a great athlete. But when he's sidestepping either a safety or a corner, that's an Olay. For me. Okay, yep. This guy's 250 pounds. I like my shoulders where they are. I'm gonna live to play another game, another play, and I'm getting out of this guy's way. So this guy, you can't let him get started running the football. And he doesn't run it a whole lot every game. Everybody thinks he runs 15, 20 times a game. He's averaging about 8 times a game running a football. But a lot of those are designed runs.
He's averaging 8 yards a carry.
Yeah, but a lot of those runs you're talking about, Tim, they're designed plays.
Absolutely.
And if you see him in the backfield by himself, and you see both of those guards pull out of the line of scrimmage, he's running the football to that side. Whichever way they pull. They pull left, he's running left. They pull right, he's running right.
All right.
So keep an eye on that as well.
Okay, before we got to take a break here, a couple things. They can limit Emmanuel Sanders. Remember last time he had 2 touchdowns, they were so worried about Diggs that Sanders killed him in the game. And remember now the Bills.
Remember, Diggs is still there.
I know. Okay. I know.
So if you flop too much on Sanders, now Diggs will come back.
And that's why if you play cover 3 or cover 0, then you got some issues because they got 2 good wide receivers. The other thing is,
tight end's pretty good.
Knox. That's the other guy I put in there. Knox. He has 9 TDs and 7 of them are in the red zone. 66% throwing the ball. So they're going to throw the ball, but when they do run the ball, a lot of times it's a quarterback that's running the ball.
And Singletary has risen up here towards the end of the season, a running back, and has played very, very well.
But if you're going to win this football game, and we'll take a break here, Rudy, if you're going to win this football game, your front four has got to win. They've got to dominate the line of scrimmage. They've got to dominate because if you can bring your blitzes at times, that's fine. But you can't live with that. Your front four has got to win. I think the Chiefs play much better on the front four because Chris Jones is in. Remember, Chris Jones didn't play last time they played Buffalo.
Right. Well, he played outside. Not inside.
I thought he was hurt. I don't think he was in the game.
Frank Clark, I think, was injured a little bit. And they didn't have Melvin Ingram playing. Mm-hmm. And Turk Wharton's been playing great.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we'll take a break here. We'll thank our friends from CBD America. Sean, when we get back, we'll talk about what the offense needs to do. We'll listen to some sound that Frankie's put together.
No, Rudy's put together. Rudy has put it together.
Rudy's a lineman, okay? When they score touchdowns, they say the
and
quarterback
I'll fine
did it.
Him after the show.
He's a lineman.
I mentioned his name. He's going to get fined.
He's a lineman.
You're listening to
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Rudy, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you there with us?
I am. He always is.
I've been getting some responses to my tweet. I said, you're entering the no-fluff zone tonight on Crunch Time. We are going to talk X's and O's and schemes and tendencies, matchups, and all that kind of good stuff for a big Chiefs victory. And there's some people saying they wish they could hear this on a podcast on the app. Can they do that?
Yes, I do podcasts.
Yeah, you podcast every night.
Yeah, after the show. Now, if there's a chance, I heard the other day, if they're trying to listen live on the app, the other day the app was not working well. I have not checked to see if it is.
But you do
still
usually.
Well, but we do podcast the entirety of the show, usually by 7:02, just shortly after 7, sometimes even a little before 7.
Just go to 810 WHP.com.
This is a typical grunnyism here. I'm doing this on the radio. People that are listening, they don't need this information.
No kidding.
So, I guess...
Why, Tim?
I don't know why.
Why?
But maybe they want to go back on Friday, tomorrow. They're like, you're bored. It's like, yeah, I'd like to listen to Crunch Time. I'm going to listen to it again.
There you go. All right. So, let your friends know and everybody out there that you can listen again on the podcast. It'll be up around 7:30 tonight.
More like 7:10, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm Frank.
Tim?
A quick turnaround.
Back on subject.
Welcome to Crunch Time, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. Okay. All right. We talked about Willie Gay.
Yes.
Just a little. Had an issue. Police were called. He was taken into custody, and he was released about 5:30 this afternoon.
If the police are called, somebody's going.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And they really have to take somebody at that point, since it was a situation like this.
Sure.
There was a lot of yelling and screaming and that sort of thing, destruction of some property. So he was taken into custody.
Never happened
released
at the
this afternoon.
House.
No, that would never happen. No, Bull household.
I've never yelled at my wife.
Okay. Steve Spagnuolo was asked about the status of Willie Gay Jr.
She kicked my ass.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know, Sam. I'm going to leave that up to Andy. I'm sure he'll address it. But, you know, if this happened in the game and it was an injury, you know, today we just operated that way. But we'll see what happens.
And Andy did not talk today. He is not ever scheduled to talk on Thursday. Today does not talk. He will talk tomorrow, and we'll find out more. Be interesting to see what happens here. And
prediction?
You know, I think everybody sort of feels that Willie Gay will play in this football game. I sort of think that'll happen as well, but it's not a guarantee in any way, shape, or form. Remember, he had some issues earlier this year, and he talked about it. You know, about his mental state, and you got to be concerned about the man, not the game. Okay, I know the game to all the Chiefs fans is the most important thing in the world, but the most important thing in the world is that human being. So
absolutely,
you got to really take care of them. And the NFL is terrible at taking care of situations like this. And Seren Petro asked Steve Spagnuolo about Willie Gay's mental health in his tweet earlier in the season about his mental health struggles.
I wasn't aware of what you're talking about there, Seren, but I tell you, all I can say about Willie is I love working with him. He's been terrific. I mean, I think you guys know he had a baby, and I talked to him about that a lot. Yeah, hopefully things will work out for the best for everybody.
That's all you can hope.
Yep, absolutely. Take care of the man.
Take care of the man.
And everything else will take care of itself. So it'll be interesting to see if he does not play. That really puts the Chiefs in a bind. Okay, as far as doing everything we talked about in the first segment, trying to get a spy on the quarterback, trying to also prevent the run, trying to get some speed of the guys out of the backfield with Singletary, all that sort of stuff, that would be leave a huge hole in the defense.
Now, I want to kind of add to this whole spy thing. I'm not saying just have a guy that is just personally responsible for the quarterback, but I do think that your linebackers have to be cognizant of where the quarterback's at. And they have to watch and see and make sure he gets rid of the ball while they're in their drop or where they're getting where they need to go. I'm not sure that, you know, he is such a threat that he's a running quarterback where you have to have a spy because he's going to run the ball 15 to 20 times in a game. But you got to be cognizant. No, you got to understand, you know, by tendency or by formation or by look or by a read, you've got to be ready as a linebacker or a safety for this team to be able to come up and make a play on this quarterback, which means you have to have your eyes in the right spot.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about spying. I don't want the Chiefs to put one guy in the middle of the field and say all you have is a quarterback, because then you're going to run into some issues with Knox, you're going to run into some issues with Diggs, you're going to run into some issues with Sanders. I don't think the Chiefs can afford to do that, but they've got to be good at reading your key and understanding their responsibilities, because Spags has gone over, if this happens in this look, then he does this, this, or that, and they've got to understand that through film study.
And if he takes off and you hit him, you better bring him down.
You better bring him down.
And he ain't easy to bring down.
And you can't be, you know, thinking he's gonna come down easy. All right, real quick before we go to Patrick Mahomes, he's got a lot of stuff, but let's talk a little bit about what the offense needs to do. I think the keys for the offense. Listen, Buffalo's defensive line isn't very good. They're not very good. They're not even close to as good as the Pittsburgh Steelers were. But, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to protect the quarterback. And they have some guys on the outside have some wiggle to them. But they're not any world beaters. So the Chiefs are going to have to win this 5-on-5 battle now. And Brown and Wiley struggled a little bit out there last week. Okay, let's just call it the way it is. They struggled. Now, they're not playing the same kind of guys, but they struggled. So, you're not going to have the chip that they had last week from the back. You're not going to have that tight end staying in and helping out like they did last week. So these guys are going to have to win the one-on-one, five-on-five battle up front. That is the key. Because, Frank, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, this might be the two best safeties in the league. I think.
Yeah, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde.
Yeah, that's right. And then, yeah, Poyer and Hyde. And then to forget Tremaine Edmonds, who is a linebacker there. He is an unbelievable athlete, too. They have some athletes on that second level now. They have some guys who can flat out play. So the Chiefs are going to have to win that battle up front against that defensive line. The weak spot of this team is the defensive line. So protection is a key. And the other thing is they, when they dial up the run, they have got to have success in the running game because you can't have those safeties having one thing to worry about. If you have the safeties only worrying, then they're not, our guys are winning up front the defensive line. We can kind of stay back and, you know, take care of the deep ball or come up and fill. Then we're going to have some issues. You got to have those safeties worried about, hey, well, I better get up and fill on this run, or they're going to get 6, 7, 8 yards on this. We can't let them do that. Or they have, you know, they have all this time, and they could hit, you know, these mesh patterns and crossing patterns and hitches and all those kind of things. So they got to go jump things. You can't let those safeties be comfortable. You got to have them. And this is what old defensive coach used to say when I was at Notre Dame: make them have busy eyes. Busy eyes at safety positions where you want them. You want them looking at all kinds of things. You don't want to have the soft eyes where they could just look at one thing and they could see everything and everything's slow. Mm-hmm. Get them on that busy eye look.
Yeah, and the other thing you got to remember now, we talked a lot about who wasn't available last time they played. Ward wasn't available. Ingram wasn't here. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of guys. There was a guy that wasn't available for the Buffalo Bills, too. It was their linebacker, Matt Milano.
Yeah, Milano.
And he's a hell of a player. Okay, yes, so he is back. Okay, he did not play in Week 5 against the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Of course, he is the key for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Seren Petro asked Patrick Mahomes about his blank you attitude.
People kind of describe your mindset in games as, I mean, like a blank you mindset, that there's a stage that you get to where you go to another competitive level. And I've just had people, you know, recently around town, that's been like a conversation that you kind of maybe got there. Like the Pittsburgh game didn't start the way you wanted. When that clicked in 11 minutes later, you've thrown 5 touchdowns. Is that accurate? Is there a level within you, or is that just the perception fans have when it gets rolling like it did?
Yeah. I mean, I think I just really like winning. That's pretty much the end of it.
How about that?
Yeah.
I like that. Was a blank you attitude.
That's a blank you attitude.
And you know what? He's hearing all week how great Josh Allen is. All week.
He's got
that always attitude. Hurt. Yeah. It's always hurt. It's how great Josh Allen is. And Josh Allen's better. And Josh Allen's going to come in. He toasted him the last time out. And he's going to toast him again. And they're going to the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Bills and the Bucks and all this sort of thing. You know, they're just waiting. They're going to be sitting here waiting for these guys.
You know, it's funny. A buddy of mine did a podcast with his dad, and his dad doesn't do a lot of podcasts. And he asked him the question, you know, when did you know that Patrick was going to be this competitive? And the dad said, you know, I knew right away, because that's what we concentrated on when he was a little kid. You know, I always had him in the locker room or the clubhouse with me. I always said he was going to be a baseball player. He's always asking questions. He was always competitive. He always wanted to win, whether it was cards, Monopoly, or football, or baseball, or basketball. I always wanted to win. There's a lot of guys like that. He had this just attitude from right away, but he was able to hone that attitude in to do it the right way. You've met competitive people that just they're competitive in the wrong way.
Yeah.
They can't control that competitiveness.
Well, not only that, but they blame everybody else. They're yelling at guys and pointing to this guy and pointing to that guy. Yeah.
And when you're in a clubhouse and you're a little kid and you're walking around with Derek Jeter, or you're walking around with, you know, Pickett, or, you know, who's the guy that played for Minnesota, the outfielder? The
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett. Well, you're walking around with Kirby Puckett, and you're walking around with these guys that are the best of the best, and you're learning for them how to handle yourself and how to be, under
control.
How to be a pro. He learned how to be a pro when he's a little kid. And his dad said, you know, that's how, you know, I got him to prepare, and you can see that he does. I mean, there's he can get to that next as an athlete. You got to get to that. You got to get out of your comfort zone, and when sometimes guys get out of their comfort zone, they get out of control, or they try to do too much,
right.
Or they try to force things, or they try to if things aren't going their way, they, like you said, they try to blame other people. Patrick Mahomes is the best that I've ever seen at being able to get to that next level, but be under control, to speed up his heart, but slow down his brain.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. It's, you know, I've heard guys say this many times. It's try easier. You know, people say try harder, try harder, try easier.
Right.
Try easier. Settle down. Relax. Try easier. Get back. Get back on track.
You know, Andy Reid has a little bit of that in him too. I think when things get tough for Andy Reid and things get tough for Patrick Mahomes, and I've been with coaches. A guy just texted me, John Holmes, who I was coach with at NBA. He's the same
coach.
I mean, he loses his mind when we're winning. When we're losing, he just calms down. And he figures stuff out, and he just does a great job of kind of bringing it back in. And the team reacts that way. And that's what coaches need to do, and that's what players need to do. Because guess what? Patrick Mahomes is a coach on the field now.
Oh, sure.
If he's freaking
like
out.
Like I said, the other day, every Friday, he tries to figure out what the first 15 plays are.
And I'm telling you, when you play with guys, you know, I don't know Baker Mayfield from Adam. But I can imagine Baker Mayfield not being the most calm guy when things are going bad.
You think?
Right? And, you know, I know Dan Marino was another guy. Dan Marino was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But Dan Marino is a bastard.
He got too hot.
He was a bastard. So, you know, he would get, you know, guys didn't want to play for him because it was always, hey, I admitted it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know? That was him.
Good Central Catholic kid.
There you go.
That's what you do.
That's right.
From Pittsburgh. You blame other people.
You got
I think
more?
I've got this far. I always blamed you. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, but Pat, also, you know, everybody talks about Josh Allen's runs, and, you know, you don't want to get Mahomes hurt. And I know Buffalo doesn't want to get Josh Allen hurt either, but Mahomes was asked if he has a better sense of when to run now than in years past.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think you've seen it from me in the playoffs before. It's when teams really focus in on Tyreek and Travis, and they have two people on both of them, and then other guys are getting covered in kind of man-type covered situations. It kind of opens up lanes for me to run. I've been telling Tyreek that I'm getting faster every year too. So I mean, I got a little bit of speed there, and so when it's presented the opportunity, I think I'd try to get up, get first downs, get out of bounds.
I wanted him to whoever asked the question to follow up on what are you doing to increase your speed. I'd love to find out what he's doing off season. I bet there's a lot of people who want to find out what he's doing because he has gotten quicker.
Yeah,
and you know he looks when he gets out of the pocket, he looks to throw. Really, instead of run.
Absolutely,
whereas Josh Allen starts to get flushed out, he's looking to run somebody over downfield somewhere. So that's a big difference.
Hey,
so.
You know, I mean, guys, he hasn't even peaked yet.
Oh,
I mean, he's still going. Yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, you probably start getting into that zone of, you know, being your best at about 27, 28, 29. I mean, he's got a couple of years now.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is not a finished product.
No, huh?
And you know, and you know, I think, man, I am so proud of him because I think he's learned a lot this year. He didn't have as much success this year personally as I think he wanted to have for one reason or another, whether it's because of he was trying to force things, he was trying to do too much.
Well, he's still trying to get the ball downfield early in the season. He hadn't bought into
because he's a competitive prick, right? Isn't that what
they call
him?
Exactly what he is,
man. And he still wanted to make those plays because he in his mind thought he could do that. So he had to swallow a little bit of that humble pie and say, you know what, I can't do this all myself. And you know what, he accepted that. And that's, to me, a sign of a great leader and a great teammate, that he accepted that, you know, I have to change some things in order for this team to win. And it may not look as good, and I may not get all the stats, and I may have to listen to ESPN Get Up or Get Down or whatever the crap-ass shows they have on with all those guys ripping Patrick Mahomes because he's not doing it what he did maybe last year. But guess what? He's still winning damn games, guys, so kiss my ass. You're listening to?
Crunch Time!
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull, and we are bringing on our boss, Jamie Woolard, who is laying on the beach in Mexico right now, in Cabo.
The umbrella drink down.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We must have done something very, very good to get him off the beach and away from the bar to come and talk to us.
Oh, he didn't leave the beach.
Minutes.
Are you kidding? Well, the sun went down, most likely. How did they get him off the
beach? Just got off the golf course.
Oh, did you?
Like
and where did you play?
We played Rancho's, what's it called? Rancho Santa Fe. It's the Greg Norman course down here.
Wow.
That they just built. So it's very nice.
You know, the beautiful thing about those courses down there is they have those little, like, huts about every seven holes with drinks and food and all kinds of different little snackies and stuff. And it's all comp. You just go up there, pull up. They got the nice.
Get what you want.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hey.
Just get what you want. How you doing, guys? Hey, I will tell you this from Cabo. Let me tell you this real quick. I have not seen one Bills fan in college. Everybody down here is a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
It is a big Chiefs area. I mean, it is.
I'm telling you,
Kansas City loves to go to Cabo.
Yeah, you wear a hat or a shirt. I mean, you got 25, 30 people come up talk to you. It's crazy.
Hey. Hey, Jamie, so I was looking through some stuff, as I like to do before our show here, just to see what's going on with CBD American Shaman, and I ran into this article here that talks about how CBD is starting to get into the grocery stores all over the country. Price Chopper here in Kansas City, and obviously with the Ball Food stores that you guys are doing, which is awesome. I see that around the country, Kroger's and Whole Foods and everybody else is starting to get some CBD products in. There's also these little dispensary type of deals where you can kind of push what you want in, like a kind of like a vending machine type of deal, but a cool vending machine where people are. So talk to us. What's the plans? You guys are really kind of moving to this area too, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're the first to actually go into a grocery store, an actual store.
A store.
In a store. Now we have two of them in Kansas City. We have the Hen House at 135th and Metcalf, and then we have the Price Chopper up at Berry Road in North Oak.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those have been extremely successful since we opened them. I'll tell you one thing that we're looking at right now is more of a dispensary-type unit where it concentrates on Delta 8 and HHC. Because we're slowly getting over this rise of getting into recreational. Delta 8 and HHC is more of a recreational type CBD. It gives you the same effects that you get from other recreational things that we can't talk about on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're looking at actually opening a store to just, sell those types of products and just kind of play with it a little bit, and like we've done with grocery store. We've got grocery stores calling us now and talking to us about possibly doing a full-line store. The biggest problem with these grocery stores is you don't get any information. Nobody tells you anything. You have to go to a CBD expert to figure out what's your problem, what are you trying to do, and then we help you all the way along the line. I mean, that's one of the big things, as well as I do. The sampling is the big thing with us. And you're not going to be able to sample at a Kroger. That's not going to happen. You're going to buy the product, take it home. You have no idea what to do with it, no idea what to take. Nobody's told you anything. So that's a challenge. So you always want to remember you get the best information from an actual CBD store with a CBD expert behind that counter. But I will tell you this. They can say whatever they want to. People know. They come looking for that discount right after the Chiefs game. We see it every single week.
Yeah, and if they don't score 30, they can wait till Thursday. See, that's a big deal.
They have to come tonight.
Yeah,
you have to come tonight.
Yeah.
But I tell you that the day after the Chiefs game, as you look back at the numbers, it's unbelievable what people are doing. So, but we're excited about it.
Yeah, right.
Excited with you guys, too.
Yeah, they love that 42%. They'd love to 42%. See a 50. They'd love a 50.
Yeah, I know.
Donna, Jamie's wife, texted me and said, can you ask Andy to call the dogs off? I don't know, 50%.
We're going broke. I'm going to have to come back from Cabo 3 days early.
Yeah. Have to come back. Yeah, we ran out of money. You know what? It's fun. It's great. We're glad the product's getting out there, and here's what we know. Every time they buy something, they come back and buy something else, or they buy a repeat product or what they just got because they fell in love with it. So if that's what it takes to get them in the door, and we're all for it. We'll do everything. We're a hometown company. We want to be, we want to support hometown things. And obviously, we're doing that right now. And it's just, it's exciting to grow with you guys too. So.
Well, we're running out of time, but your fearless leader, one of the reasons why he started this company was to help people. I mean, I know that his uncle said, hey, listen, if you do this, we want you to help people. And he's done that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Vince started the whole thing trying to help his uncle.
That's right.
And, you know, people that don't know the story, but, and I won't go into it tonight, but just the fact that that's how it started, it's continued in that process. Vince is always working on something new, something easier, something, you know, cutting edge. We're leading the country right now in this Delta 8 and the HHC product. We're getting a lot of activity on it all over the country. So we're excited. And you know what? It's just going to continue to grow from here.
Yeah. Hey, and Jamie, start working on that, the product to, heal broken ribs. If you could do that, I think we'll be in, we'll be a great shape for that one.
We went looking for a punctured lung. We don't know exactly which cannabinoid
he is not happy. Hey, he's not happy over here looking at me now.
I know Rudy's going to be mad at me, but I will tell you this. It's the only time your product didn't work. I slathered it on there, and I said, I'll be fine.
I'm good.
And then the next morning, I woke up, I said, it didn't work. There's got to be something seriously wrong with me.
Headed to the hospital. All right, Jamie, have fun in Cabo, buddy.
We'll talk to you.
We'll
be back on Saturday before the game. Greg, good job, guys.
All right, pal. All right, you got it. Jamie Woolard from CBD American Shaman.
All right. We'll be back next week to talk about the big win, because you're listening to
Crunch Time.